working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. So let's just be quiet for a moment before we open in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, Shepherd of the sheep, help us today to hear your voice and to follow you. Call us back when we go astray and show us again the right path. Work in us through your Holy Spirit and help us to live out your kingdom values and purposes and be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Our reading today is from Matthew 5, verse 17 to 20. The words of Jesus. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus begins this section of the Sermon on the Mount with a statement of intent. He says, do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. But what did he actually mean by that? Well, he's stating that the law is not only important, but it's also permanent. Jesus, far from coming to change anything about the law and its place in the history of God's chosen people, he declares the opposite. He has a very high view of their importance. Now, when we look at the Old Testament, there are three ways in which we can do this. We can view it as a history book. And we can see that it's the acts of God in history. History is his story. In the Old Testament, we see the history of God's relationship with human beings from creation onwards. We could also see it as a promise book. The Old Testament is full of some tragic, sad stories of rebellion and wicked behavior that lead to judgment and captivity. But it's also full of God's promises. We read of promises made to Noah and Abraham and Moses and David, and messages of hope that come through the prophets such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, etc. So we can see it as a promise book, as well as a history book. Thirdly, we can see it as an instruction book. It's a book of rules and regulations. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, are known as the Torah. Torah means guidance, it means instruction. And we find in the Torah the moral, civil, and the ceremonial law. Now Jesus is saying that he didn't come to abolish all this, but to fulfill. How did he actually do that? Three ways in which Jesus fulfills that. Firstly, Jesus fulfills salvation history. Jesus is seen right through the whole of the Old Testament. I mean, we call it the Old Testament, but of course Jesus, he didn't read the New Testament because it wasn't there. He was the New Testament, but he's also in the Old Testament. He may not have been born to us, but he was there at the beginning. And someone's put this together, and it's a really powerful piece. It says in Genesis, he is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the priest and the lamb of sacrifice. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like Moses. In Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our judge and our lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls. In Nehemiah, he is our restorer. In Esther, he is our advocate. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs, he is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he is our hope of resurrection. In Song of Songs, he is our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous wronged. In Lamentations, he's our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the one with the right to rule. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he is the faithful husband forever married to the saints. In Joel, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he is the restorer of justice. In Obadiah, he is mighty to save. In Jonah, he is our great foreign missionary. In Micah, he is the feet of one who brings good news. In Nahum, he is the stronghold in the day of trouble. In Habakkuk, he is God, my Savior. In Zephaniah, he's the King of Israel. In Haggai, he is the signet ring. In Zechariah, he is a humble king riding on a colt. And in Malachi, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. That's amazing, isn't it? He's all those things. He's pictured in all those Old Testament books and through the whole of the history. Jesus fulfills this salvation history. Secondly, he fulfills God's promise. If we look at all the Old Testament prophecies in terms of their prediction, we can see that Jesus fulfilled many of them. His birth in Bethlehem, his early life in Nazareth, his miracles of healing, his betrayal, his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies, including 29 in one single day when he died. So we see Jesus fulfills God's promise. He also fulfills God's law. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament ceremonial law when he died on the cross. But as well as fulfilling that, becoming the lamb that was slain, as it were, so that we could be free and forgiven, he also showed us true righteousness, what true righteousness looked like, by living it out in front of us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said about Jesus and the Old Testament law, he has in fact nothing to add except this, that he keeps it. Before he goes on to give us a blow-by-blow account of what righteousness in action really looks like, he drops this bombshell. He says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a bit of a shock. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be spending time looking at what Jesus really meant by that statement. Let's just read these words together. And I wonder if you can say amen to this. Jesus is life, love, longevity, and law. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and love. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, good. His way is right, his words eternal. He is my Redeemer. He is my Saviour. He is my God. He is my priest. He is my King. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my law. And he rules my life. Amen. We're going to listen to a song now. Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Yes, Lord Jesus, we want to say today that it is all about you. And Lord, we thank you that you have fulfilled all righteousness. Lord, we thank you for those statements that we read out earlier, those truths of who you are. Lord, we thank you that you were there at the very beginning. you spoke and things came into being. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are life, you are love. Lord, we thank you that you are good and kind and gentle. We thank you that you are holy and righteous and mighty and powerful. And Lord, we thank you that your way is right and your words are eternal. And Lord, we do want to say today that you are our Redeemer, you are our Saviour, you are our God, you are our King. And may you be our joy, may you be our comfort. And Lord, may you rule our lives. And Lord, would you help us to live the life that you want us to. Lord, in the coming weeks, as we look deeper into what it really means to live like you, what it really means to that our righteousness is far greater than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Lord, give us your spirit. Lord, that we may put into action what we study, what we read. Amen.